All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a devil, isn't there? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore? Now, of course, we don't hardly ever use this word in our everyday language, the word wherefore. But one writer said it means on this account, take unto you the whole armor of God. In other words, we're wrestling these principalities and these powers, these rulers of the darkness of the world against spiritual wickedness. And on this account, and on this wrestling, on this warfare, on this account, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, I want you to notice those two words, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. But Simpson, how am I going to be able to make it? Brother Simpson, I don't know if I can make it. The scripture here is telling you how you can make it. Huh? I remember getting saved. And I remember the devil saying, what are you going to do when you go back to school? It was June. June hadn't started back. I remember the devil saying, what are you going to do when you go back to school? What are you going to do when you see all your friends again? They're wanting to go do this, and you're going to have to say no. What are you going to do? Anybody ever hear those questions? What are you going to do when you go back to work? What are you going to, you know, now that you've got saved? Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Help me pray. Please, Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy. Lord, I feel like you spoke to my heart about these scriptures. Lord, they're not scriptures that we might shout on tonight, so to speak. But Lord, I need your touch. I need that unction from the Holy Ghost. My voice is somewhat weak from singing this morning. But Lord, I know you're well able to give me strength, give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech, and help me to say this afternoon exactly what the Holy Ghost wants me to say, he desires me to say. Nothing more and nothing less. In Christ's name we pray, and everybody says, amen. I want to preach tonight on spiritual warfare. I want to talk to us about the fight of our lives. Amen. Sooner or later, every believer discovers that the Christian life is not a playground, but it is a battleground. Amen. And that he faces an enemy. And that's much stronger than we are, apart from the Lord within us. You know, as a Christian, I won't take my time here for a few moments, but as a Christian, we face three enemies. Of course, they are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world refers to the system around us that is opposed to God, that caters to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The flesh is that old nature that we inherited from Adam, a nature that is opposed to God and can do nothing spiritually to please God. And of course, the third one is the devil. But I want you to understand something. In Christ's death and his resurrection, Christ overcame the world. He overcame, amen, the flesh, and he overcame the devil. And so, in other words, we as believers, we don't fight to try to get victory. We fight from victory. There's a big difference, huh? You ain't trying to get the victory, but as Christians, we already have the victory. We're not trying to overtake the mountain. Amen. We've already got the mountain took, but there's an enemy of our soul that don't like that. Amen. And so, I read a little illustration about one man who fought in World War II. His name was Leroy Elms, if I pronounce that right. And he was serving in the Marines in the South Pacific during World War II. And he says, quote, shortly after we hit the beach, our armored tank took two artillery shells broadside. He said, we immediately evacuated our disabled vehicle and we darted from hole to hole toward the enemy airstrip, which we were commanded to take. The sergeant began to check on us to make sure that we were okay. And he crawled over to me, Mr. Elms said, and he asked, are you all right, Elms? I answered, yay, I'm okay, Sarge. And he looked at me and asked, Elms, where is your helmet? He said, I felt the top of my head and answered, must be in the tank, Sarge. Where is your duty belt? Our duty belts carried ammunition for our rifles and canteen of water. And he said, must be in the tank, Sarge. As a matter of fact, Elms, where is your rifle? He looked at me with disgust and pity because our hasty departure from the tank. He said, I was dressed about the same way that I go to a ball game or something of that nature. And there I was hopping from hole to hole and from tree to tree, he said. I'll tell you something, that story reveals a lot about the modern church. Most Christians have forgotten that the Christian life is not a playground, but it is a battlefield. There is an all-out war against every true believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when you look at this text, amen, the Bible here, it first starts off by describing our enemy. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. You know, there is a spiritual, unseen world that we live in. We can't see it with our natural eyes. Amen. But we know enough about the Bible that there is a world, amen, of an unseen world out there. Amen. Right now is just as real as we are right here looking at one another. There is demonic spirits. There is the devil himself. Amen. Amen. The Bible talks about even the host of spirit, the host of spirit beings reside in the unseen world, even angels and things of that nature. The Bible talks about different ranks of angels and godly angels. We've heard of angels like Gabriel. How Gabriel, for instance, in the Bible stands out, amen, and stands in the presence of God and often appears as the herald angel, the angel Gabriel. Michael the archangel, he is known as the warrior angel. He is the field marshal of the armies of heaven, the defender of the nation of Israel, the one who will ultimately be God's agent to cast Satan down from the heavenlies where he roams today. Amen. Paul mentions about this heavenly throne of angels in Galatians 1:16. He talks about thrones and dominions and principalities and powers. The Bible said at Calvary, Christ spoiled the principalities and powers, which is referring to the demonic spirits here in Ephesians 6. Amen. Which we call Satan's fallen host. There is a devil. Amen. And there is demonic spirits. Amen. We know that the devil from scripture, the Bible tells us, amen, where he come from. He is a created being. He is not omnipresent like God. He doesn't know everything. He isn't all powerful. Amen. Like God, the devil is a created being. In the beginning, his name was Lucifer. Amen. We knew that God cast him out of heaven. He drew a third part of the stars. Amen. So most theologians and Bible commentators says the third part of the stars are what we know as demons or the demonic, the demonic spirits from the pits of hell. Here the Bible tells us that we it first begins to recognize the enemy.
You know, I know this is a carnal illustration, but I used to play football and softball and different sports in school. And I remember as a football player, our coach would have us, we'd be facing up a team and things of that nature. And the coach would have us to watch some games and videos of a certain team that we were going to go up against. And we was trying to learn some tragedy, not tragedies, but some, thank you, with an S. Amen. Thank you. Thank God for a good church that helped me preach. Strategies. Amen. We weren't worried about the tragedy. We was hoping to make them tragedies, but we were trying to learn the strategy at first. Because we was going up against them. Huh? So we study the enemy. And we learn the tactics and we learn the way they, and that's the same way here the scripture is trying to paint a vivid picture for us of the enemy of our soul called the devil. He is an enemy of our soul. Now, I'll tell you something. If he's not your enemy, then you probably not saved. But if you're saved tonight, you better believe you have an enemy. No, it's not your husband. And no, it's not your mother-in-law. You know, some brothers didn't say hardly ain't nothing on that one. Amen. No, it's not. Amen. And no, your enemy's not the preacher. Believe that. He's not your enemy. But you have an enemy. Amen. And the Bible plainly paints a vivid picture here. Amen. And tells us our enemy is the devil. And verse 11. Now the enemy, just like Christ, I preached 6 or 7 months about the name of Christ. And I mentioned probably over 100 names or thereabout. I went through the alphabet A through Z on the names of Christ. Well, Satan, amen, the devil has several different names throughout the Bible. Amen. The devil in the Greek means the accuser. Amen. So when you hear the word devil, he is the accuser, the Bible said, of God's people. And because he accuses God's people day and night before the throne of God. That's found in Revelation 12, 7 through 11. The Bible also calls him Satan. The word Satan means adversary because he is the enemy of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible calls him the great tempter. Amen. In John chapter 8, 44, the Bible calls him a murderer and a liar. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, Peter says, amen, tells us about that, compares him to a lion, a roaring lion seeketh about whom he may devour. Genesis 3 and 1 and Revelation 12 and 9 talk to us about a serpent, amen, in the form of a serpent. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he's called the angel of light. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, the Bible calls him the God of this world. Amen. Where did he come from? He come cast out of heaven. Here in the Bible records in verse 12, amen, that Satan has some helpers. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your enemy is not that one that hurt you. It's not that one that betray you. It's the devil that used them. I'll tell you where a lot of church trouble come in, Dad, is when people don't recognize the enemy. Huh? Brother Simpson, has the devil ever used preacher friends? Amen. People you were close to hurt you? I have to answer yes to that. Amen. The devil has used good people to hurt me before. Amen. Sometimes it was probably intentional, but the majority of the time it wasn't intentional. Amen. And I could get an attitude and criticize and get bitter with them, and that's exactly what the devil wants. Let me tell you something. It ain't adultery that trips up everybody, amen, that backslides. It's not fornication that trips up every young person that backslides. It is that sly, amen, principality and powers that work on us when we don't even realize it. Amen. I'll tell you something. It's not sin. Amen. Listen to me real close on this. Amen. It's not sin that causes us to backslide first. It is first when we become at ease in the house of God and when we stop praying and when we stop reading God's Bible and we don't have the armor of God wrapped upon our lives and in our hearts. Before you ever sin, amen, you'll stop praying. You can't pray and sin at the same time. Preacher, I don't want to go back. I don't want to backslide. I got a cure way to keep you from backsliding, and that is to pray and read God's Bible. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you get the picture here. There's no, and this is carnal, but there's no magic wand three times to wave over you so you won't backslide. If you want to go to heaven, you can. Bill Houston come here and said, you can if you want to. There's not a person here that has to go to hell. Amen. You go to hell because you choose. You can go to heaven if you want to. Huh? But you got to understand, you've got an enemy. You joined an army. This ain't no patty cake. This ain't no nursery here. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, sister, and I don't mean to discourage. She's been saved. She knows exactly the devil. She knows about what. Amen. I'm telling you, there is a mean devil. Amen. That will absolutely turn hell upside down. Amen. Trying to figure out a way how to get you back over on his side. But I'm telling you, the Bible said to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, you got to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Help me here, Lord. There are also ranks, and I mentioned Gabriel and Michael in the ranks of that heavenly host. There are ranks in the Satan spirit realm too. Amen. This principality is found in verse 12. And principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness that we wrestle against, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not people. It's not people. You know, and I know, that there are people right now, amen, that are not doing right in church because Satan has found his way into their heart with a spirit of bitterness. And that bitterness, when it lingers in her so long, and that individual don't pray over that spirit of bitterness, that spirit of bitterness, amen, will turn into envy. It will turn into strife. Amen. It will go and bring a little hatred. I mean, next thing you know, amen, their whole life is engulfed in bitterness and unforgiveness. Where the Bible said where envy and strife is, there is what? Every evil work. Amen. I'm telling you, you give the devil an inch and he will take a mile. You open the door. The Bible said don't give place to the devil. Amen. I'm gonna kill a sermon that I'm working on right now. I'm gonna shoot this, and I don't want to because I read something the other day. I was studying something out of Proverbs 7, and it was about spiritual warfare. I left it at home. I didn't bring it today, and I didn't go back home. I stayed here. I thought, man, I wish I had some of them notes. It's on my laptop. But anyways, amen. I was reading something the other day about Proverbs 7. And Proverbs 7, it talks about Solomon. He's watching out his window, and he sees the young man void of understanding. You remember that text? He's walking down the street, and this woman's down on the street, and he paints her as a harlot, and she seduces this young man to go to her house. Amen. And she tells the young man and promises him, man, come. My husband's gone. He's going on a trip. He won't be back. She promises him the world. Amen. That's all a type and a shadow of how sin, how the devil just lures you. Amen. And in this little message that I read and some of this stuff that I was reading this past week, amen, the writer in this little sermon that I read, this little article, rather, amen, was talking about how that it was easier, amen, to avoid temptation than to resist temptation. And when I read that, I thought, wait a second, I ain't never heard that. I was a little interested. And so I got to reading, amen, and what he was saying was not to get to a place where you're never tempted, because that's not biblical. Even Jesus was tempted, huh? Amen. He wasn't saying that you're never going to be tempted, but he was saying it's better to be smart enough, amen, than to avoid temptation, amen, and trying to go around temptation and avoid temptation than walking right in the path of temptation and then trying to resist it, amen, when it comes to you. Are you with me? Does that make any sense? And one of the things, we always go to Proverbs 7, and we start a scripture about verse 7, where he's watching a young man, but read the first six verses. The first six verses, Solomon, it was telling his son, son, put the word into your heart. Amen. Bind it upon your heart. Amen. Read God's word. Put it in there. Put it in. What did David say? Thy word have I what? Hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I'll tell you something, if you're going to stand in this spiritual warfare, one thing you must do is that is read your Bible. If you're not reading your Bible, you're as assured to fall. You might as well spank on it. You won't make it. You will fall. You'll stumble. You've got to put God's word in your heart. Being a Christian and not reading the Bible is like jumping out of the tank, crawling from hole to hole without your gun, without your helmet, without any kind of, you're just open prey. It's just a matter of time you're going to get hit. Amen. Huh? You ain't going to battle the devil with long sleeves. You're not going to battle the devil. I don't got a TV. Devil, get away from me. Hogwash. That's useless and spiritual warfare. Come on here. To a degree. You'll find later that being righteous helps. Amen. But that's not my point right now. Amen. My point is this. You got to have a rifle. You got to have the sword. But in the Bible times, it was called a sword. Right now, we would say he's got a 30-06. Amen. When you pick up the Word of God, you know what you're doing? When you read from its pages, you're getting out your rifle. And you're shining your rifle. Amen. You're just cleaning the barrel. Yeah, I might find an enemy today. The enemy might come to me and try to tempt me today. So I'm going to get some Word of God in my heart. I want to preach this. So here's my point. He said it's easier to avoid temptation than to resist it. Brother Gabbard heard him make this statement. Brother Gabbard said he heard some holiness preachers. He said, I heard some holiness preachers make a statement that they could go to a beach and walk over female genders that had no clothes. And not sin. And Brother Gabbard and all of his intelligence said, you're lying or you're a homo one. Come on here. That's called stupid. Huh? The thing is, and I preached it to a certain degree. I said, hey, if there's a certain house on a certain street somewhere, amen, that you had problems with, and when you was lost in sin, amen, there's an old X somewhere, it's down a certain, come on here, amen. Don't go down that street. You can avoid that. You know, when you go down that street, those memories jump in your mind. All of a sudden, you've got to resist. Amen. And the writer was saying out of Proverbs 7, the best thing to do is avoid that street. Amen. Go out of your way. Go down another street. Amen. Avoid that. Don't go that way. Don't act like you're super spiritual. That don't bother me no more. I'm saved. I'm sanctified. Yeah, you might go down that street and she might be out on the porch. Amen. And when you go by, throw a wave at you. And then all of a sudden, you got to resist it. I don't know where that come from, but anyways. Thank you, Brother James. You get the picture? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. He knows. He's watching. Your enemies as a roaring lion seeking whom he may. Jesus told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you. Huh? Scripture here is painting such a vivid picture. I mean, you know, I talked about a street, but what about music? Huh? That's why we don't need to listen to, huh? Why we don't need to listen to old Hank and old Merle and, Don't holler out too loud. You might tell on yourself now, but old Tammy and George, you know. Huh? You know what I'm saying? I mean, seriously, I know we're laughing about that, but I'll tell you something. They sung them songs. I've been saved 27 years, but boy, if I'm in a restaurant and an old Bob Seger song comes on or some kind of old, you know what I'm talking about. Old stupid ACDC song that comes on. And then all of a sudden, my mind goes back to a 16-year-old boy and at a crazy party somewhere and some stupid. You mean a song will do that? Come on, song. It ain't a multi-billion-dollar business because it don't affect your emotions. It deals with your emotions. Huh? Amen. That's why I'm so hard against rock gospel. There is no such thing. When you got to go, I'll fly away. It ain't gospel. Come on. Help me preach here. Gospel music won't make you go over and bang your head on the wall. It might make you shout a little bit, but it ain't going to cause you to bang your head on the wall. Well, all right. Amen. Same way you can go on. I mean, there's movies, there's books. I mean, there's all kinds of things you can mention that would, you know, avoid that. What does the Bible say? Sean, even the reckon why? Reckon why? You reckon the Bible's smarter than we are? I can handle it. It don't matter to me to watch that. It don't matter to me to read that. He slipped his hand around my neck. And he whispered in my ear. Come on now. It's fixing to paint a scene that you don't need to go there. And that ain't even in my notes. I didn't plan on going there, but I'm sorry. I'm not going to take it back. You don't need to go into that same sentence. He puts his hands around my neck and he whispers in my ear and he tells me how much he loves me. And then he's like, whoop, shut that thing. I don't need to read that book right there. That I don't need to go there. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. But that's seriously. I know I'm trying to make it comical so you won't get so mad at me, but you understand what I'm saying. Avoid that. Don't put yourself in a predicament. Don't cause yourself. You know you're going to have. Avoid that. Get away from it. Stay away from it. That's why we preach against going to the movies. That's why we preach against reading ungodly books. That's why we preach against, amen, going places you shouldn't go. Not because we're trying to have some super holy club or something or some crazy fanatical church. No, that there is an enemy. And he will try to lure you back in that world system if he can. Huh? Amen. He'll show you when you get over here on the side of the world. Amen. He'll show you all the things you're missing. Man, you're going to church. Look what you're missing. Look at all the parties. You're in the prime of your life. You're missing all the... Stay away from that. Get you a good camp meeting. Find a church. Go to a prayer meeting. Stay around the youth group. Do things with God's people. Stay away from it. Avoid it. So I resisted. I'm telling you, he's right. When I read that, I cried. I cried. Amen. I cried when he said, avoid it is easier than trying to resist it in the heat of the moment. Huh? I tell you, I heard, you don't think it happened. I heard him tell how he visited the hospital room when he's pastoring. It's been years ago, and that's been over 10 years ago. He told me this then. He said, I was visiting a hospital somewhere and walked in the hospital room and visiting. And the nurse come in and said, we need you to, everybody to step out. You know, we're going to change your bed linen, things of that nature. So brother so-and-so stepped out. And he stepped out in the hall and he sat down out there. And he just sort of, I think if I remember right, sort of by himself. He seen coming down the hall. He seen a young lady coming down the hall. And as soon as he seen her coming down the hall of the hospital there, he recognized it was one of his old girlfriends. And when she got close, she recognized him. He went in a place where he shouldn't have been. Huh? Amen. He was just sitting there being his pastoral duties. And then all of a sudden she's seen him. Though it had been, I think, over 10 or 12, 15 years since he'd seen her. Amen. He said that she walked right over, sat down almost in his lap, propped one of her legs over on his legs, just being very provocative. Amen. And said, hey, do you remember the times we used to have? And this pastor jerked her leg off of him. He jumped up, turned around here, said, ma'am, I have you know I'm a holiness preacher. I'm happily married. You don't ever touch me again. Huh? Amen. I'll tell you something. Temptation is powerful. Amen. To resist that, it meant God was with him to do that. Huh? I said God was with him. See, amen. You, that's almost unbelievable. Can you imagine the powers of hell? I can imagine a young person or somebody putting themselves in a predicament like that where they're going to be tempted. And I'll tell you this, and I got to hurry. The devil's got one thing out for you, young person. Older person, that is to destroy you. He don't play games. He ain't trying to patty cake. You better look at this scripture and realize that there is an enemy of your soul. It's not your mama. I can't wait till I get my place of my own. I'm going to get out under your... You ain't going to be able to boss me around. It ain't your mama. I can't wait till I get any... It ain't your daddy. It ain't the preacher. Amen. That preacher, he's just against me. He's just against me. I can hear just that old preacher's against me. That old Sunday's just against me. No, there'll come a time. Amen. When you get in that hog pen, you get down there eating slop with the pigs, you'll realize you'll come to yourself. That preacher wasn't against me. Mom and dad wasn't against me. They wasn't against me. They was trying to steer me right, but I just kept right on plunging off. Amen. Into the hog pen of life. Amen. You might have to be like that old Baptist preacher preached about slop bucket repentance. Amen. He preached that old prodigal son message and he preached on a slop bucket. Get repentance. I'm trying to keep somebody out of the hog pen, out of eating a slop, even in the pig pen. There is an enemy of our soul. And I'm not trying to be the negative tonight. I'm just telling you, you might face the devil tomorrow, and you need to pray, and you need to read your Bible. I'm going to just say something that you Pentecostals might get discouraged, get upset with me. But you don't overcome the devil with a shout. Huh? You overcome the devil with prayer and fasting and the word of God. You try to do it any other way, and you'll stumble. Because I'm for shouting. I shout a little bit this morning. And I shout a little. Or was it this morning or Wednesday? I can't remember. It's maybe shouted both. I don't know. We've been shouting so much around here. Amen. Ain't that good? Amen. Can't even remember. Day you shout as much. Amen. But anyways, amen. You don't overcome the enemy with a shout because, and I'm not down and shouting. Amen. But I know preachers who shouted and laity who shouted on Sunday. And then all of a sudden on Monday, their whole life was turned upside down and just backslid. You know, something wasn't real in the shout because if the God's moving in. Are you with me? But you don't overcome the adversary. It don't say go to church and shout right here. It said, but you're going to be able to stand. Amen. Amen. When you put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's a difference. This ain't in my notes, but I know it's there. There's a difference. Look at verse 11. Look at your Bibles. In verse 11, it said that you may be able to stand. In verse number 13, it says that you may be able to withstand. There's a great difference. Huh? Just in the news, I can't remember what state. I remember reading about just a week or so ago, that dam in that certain city, that gave way and destroyed so many thousand homes. Remember that in the news? I tell you, you build a large dam, amen, and before the water's behind, and that dam is just standing there. Sister Linda Gale is just standing there. You let that water rise up to the top, amen, that dam is no longer just standing there, but it is withstanding. Amen. He is saying in verse 13, amen, about all these principalities and all these powers and all these demonic spirits. When you consider all this, you got to put on the armor of God, because in that evil day, when the pressure is on, you ever had a day that it looks like everything goes wrong and you're tempted to throw a fit and you're tempted to cuss? And you know what I'm saying? You know, I cuss. I'm just saying you're tempted to just, I give them a piece of my mind. Well, you're not supposed to do that if you're saved. Come on. You're not supposed to holler at the lady behind the cash register. All right, I ain't going to get on that no more. But the pressure. I mean, it's when the pressure was on. It's when the pressure is on. If you're wanting to stand, amen, you got to have the armor of God. And it tells us a little bit later, it's saying right here what you'll be able to do. You'll be able to just stand. You'll be able to withstand. You'll be able to stand tall with every demon in hell. I mean, we see Sister Eloise, and we see Sister Vader, we see Sister Carolyn, and we see Sister Lockhart, and we see these other saints of God that have stood the test of time, and they stand here, and we just think their life has just been a bed of roses and banana pudding and strawberry pie. And I'll tell you right now, these elder sisters and brothers have fought demons out of the pits of hell, but you know why they're still saved? Because they've learned to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. They didn't stand in their own righteousness. Amen. But they prayed, and they prayed, and they read the Bible, and they read the Bible, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they read the Bible. That's how they stood. That's why they can stand here tonight and say, I'm still saved after 20, 30, 40 years, because I put on the whole armor of God to withstand. That lady threw her leg over that pastor's leg. He wasn't just standing then. The pressure was on. But instantly, let me tell you how strong you are. Listen to me. He told me this. He shared it publicly. I wouldn't have shared it publicly. He said, I'm telling you, he said, God gave me grace. He said, but there wasn't a split second time between her propping her leg up there than me throwing her off of me. He said, I didn't wait 5 seconds. I didn't think about it. Are you all with getting my point? There was zero time of resistance. I'll tell you how, when you start judging your heart and how spirit, when you tarry in that temptation, when you give it that second thought, you know, the old timers say one time's not a sin, but when you turn back and look, amen, you've messed up. When you're lingering, when you don't resist instantly, amen, are you with me? Does that make any sense? Amen. I'm telling you, there is an enemy of our soul. I don't want to lose. I told my wife, I said, boy, I appreciate what the Holy Ghost is doing, but it seems like the momentum is greater, and I'm not trying to be negative tonight, but I'm just telling you, while we're riding this momentum that the Holy Ghost has given us, let's don't forget that there is a devil, and we might come back here next Sunday night, and one or two might be here, and we'll say, man, I thought they was doing so good, but I felt like the Holy Ghost told me to tell somebody, you've got an enemy, you're not going to make it if you don't pray. Read your Bible. Let's just be real honest. Ain't it easy to stay on the phone 30 minutes and can't hardly pray five? Can pick up the newspaper and read it all the way through. Can't hardly read a chapter without... Huh? Am I telling it right? Sit down and read a book for an hour or something. Just get lost in it, you know. How Johnny and Susie bought a farm and the flood came and they're building the farm back up and we're just lost and mesmerized. Leave me alone, I'm reading my book. Just leave me alone, I'm reading my book. I'll get to it later. I'll watch this. Just leave me alone, I'm reading the book. Then we go to read the Bible, we're like, I'm not on your sisters. I'll just use that for an example, though. Seriously, though. We can get up 5 o'clock, go hunting. But to get up 15 minutes before we go. Help me out, sisters. Come on here. Whew. Praise God. I was trying to help y'all out there. I just, you know what I'm saying? You prepare. There's a war. I got to hurry. Stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, there's something here I want to deal with real quick. I got to hurry. But the Bible, it tells us about our enemy. It tells us the source of our strength is in the might of the Lord. And I read something today and I thought, man, that's good. I'm going to use that tonight. I highlighted it in my notes so I wouldn't forget it. What does it mean to be? Go back to 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, nowhere in here implies that we have the power over the enemy. In ourselves. But this whole thing is through Him, by Him. One man put that scripture like this. He said, I cannot fly. He said, but when I put myself in an airplane and yield to its power, he said, suddenly I have the ability to soar into the air. He said again, he said, I cannot run 65 miles per hour. He said, but when I get into my car and I yield to its power, I suddenly have the ability to achieve speeds that I could never achieve on my own. So when you get up and pray in the morning, and you get up and read the Bible, and you step inside of that spiritual car, so to speak, you step inside that, amen, put on that whole armor of God. I remember years ago when I first got saved, maybe a couple years later, amen, I was really seeking the Lord, wasn't called to preach, and I was working in Lexington, Kentucky, was a shipping clerk, 14 on the seniority list, had a great job, was over about 30 guys, amen, future looked great, amen, but I started getting close to God, and I wouldn't even preach. It's been years ago, and I remember I was praying about 2 hours a day, working 10 hours a day. Amen. I was fasting about 3 to 5 days a week. I was reading the Bible every day. Are you with me? I was just hungry. You know, it was just one of those times in my life. I was just seeking after God. I haven't done that for 20 some years, but there was a time period that I got close to God and just lingered in His presence. And I remember through that time, I'd studied on prayer and amen. Then I would put on, I'd get up every morning. I'd say, Lord, amen, gird, amen, with the truth. Let my heart be settled with truth. I put on the girdle of truth. I want to know the truth. I want to saturate my mind with the truth of God's word. And I would just dress myself spiritually as anybody. Lord, let me put on the breastplate of righteousness. Not my own righteousness, but Lord, let me have the righteousness of God. Let me be in right standing with You. Amen. I've got to be pure. I've got to be holy. I've got to be covered by the blood. Let my feet be shed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let my feet go, Lord, where You have me to go. Let the will of God be done in my life. Don't let me go anywhere that these Holy Ghost shoes don't want me to go. I dress myself with the armor of God. You say that sounds a little silly. Amen. No, it was just somebody hungry for God. I didn't want to succumb and stumble and fall and backslide. So I would put on the whole armor of God like that. And I'd go through this, amen, every morning when I would pray. I'd put this armor on. That girdle of truth that encircled, amen, the waist and served to stabilize the body and protect the middle section. Huh? The shoes of the gospel. Roman soldiers wore sandals that had nails driven through the bottoms to provide the soldier with the assurance, with the surest of footing on the battlefield. He did not have to worry about his feet slipping in the heat of the battle, for he was always well grounded. For the believer, this reminds us that we are to be well grounded in the things of God. Boy, you can go on, and I don't want to take the time. Then you got the pieces for defense, and then you got those for offense. You got the shield that is there for defense, the shield of faith. But then you have what? The sword of the Spirit, which is? We just come back from Mama's. A couple of weeks ago, Brother Russell. Mom, when you go to Mom's refrigerator, all over the side, all over the front, she got several children that's lost. Mom has got their names wrote down on the refrigerator. And she's got scriptures over their names, on the side of their names, on the bottom of their names. Mom's not charismatic. She got scriptures. You walk into her bedroom and on the dresser mirror, there's scriptures that she's wrote down with her own handwriting and just tape them on the mirror. She's plumb crazy. No, don't. You can't tell me that, because you've heard me tell all the miracles that 68, 70-year-old woman, huh? Debt-free. Bringing in about $3,000 a month. Working full-time job. Never misses church. Their church is 35 minutes away on one of them old crooked roads by the XL. They call it Straight Creek, but it ought to be Snake Creek. Because there's only a 27-mile stretch. There's only about three straights that you can pass. The rest of it's curved, and she never misses unless it's snowing or raining. Health. I tell you, you live by the Bible. What was the scripture about in Deuteronomy? Help me, this ain't in my notes. But God promised Moses to tell the people of God to the scriptures, and he says, none of these diseases shall come upon thee. What's that text? None of this will hurt you. None of these diseases will come upon thee. In other words, you put these scriptures, you in remembrance, you memorize these scriptures. I tell you something, the word of God is the sword. What will keep you from losing your mind? Sister Annette, when your husband has a wreck. What keeps you from going? I'll tell you, it's the word of God. You grab a hold of a promise in the Bible, don't you? Has anybody ever done that besides me? You've heard me tell the whole 3.5 years my wife was sick. My verse was Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded. It doesn't say he was wounded. It says, but, the first word is but. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for 3.5 years. Every seizure she had while she was laying in bed, I took the Bible that I'm preaching out tonight and I laid it right beside her and I read that scripture for 3.5 years. Sure, the devil's there telling me you're stupid, you're an idiot. Why are you reading this scripture? It doesn't work. Well, devil, she hasn't had one for about 8 years now. Huh? I'm talking about put on the whole armor of God. Brother Caleb, you want to stay saved? You want to stay saved? Pray. I can't tell you a magic trick. Am I telling the right saints? There ain't no magic trick. But the more I wish I could just tell Caleb and Angela and Crystal and Adam and these new ones that's praying. I wish I could just tell you three little magic things that just will make all the pain and all the devil go away and just stay gone. But there is none. You either get on your knees and pray and put your nose in the book, huh? Or you won't make it. That's plain and simple. Come to church, put your nose in the book, get on your knees, find you a place to pray. When you get up in the morning, find you, if it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I'm not saying you got to spend 2 hours, amen, but find a place to pray. Don't you leave that house, amen, before you go to school and before you find a place to pray, amen, if it's 5 minutes, and then it might be 5 minutes at first, but it'll gradually graduate to 10 minutes, and then 15 minutes, and then there'll be a time you'll get so in love with God that when you go to bed, you can't hardly wait, go to sleep, because you want to talk to him some more. I'll see you in the morning. First thing when I wake, has anybody ever been there? Tell me what I'm talking about. Amen. I've been there when I went to sleep and say, Lord, I got to go to sleep. Lord, I can't handle it anymore. But I'll see you first thing in the morning. Amen. I was that close. I've been that close to the Lord. You got to pray. Hope comes.